when the announcement was sent out that today would be a thematic mass for all our dearly departed, there was some confusion about that, because in the old days a thematic mass always had the choir, the men's choir, singing. And that was the intention when we made the schedule last year. We said, well, the first opportunity we have to have a thematic mass in the month of November will be for our departed loved ones. And that was on the schedule of the choir, but of course, with all the lockdowns, the choir had to be suspended, and we have not yet been able to get it resuscitated. So, but it's scheduled. The choir will start their rehearsals, officially start again a week from tomorrow. And they will begin preparing for our Foundation Day, which is just in a few weeks, December 8th. So we are, now that we have this opening, we can bring the choir back to life, but it takes a little while. They have to practice and get ready, prepare the songs. But this Mass is for all our faithful departed, which is, we chose this because it's in the month of November. We didn't choose it because of the readings of the day. The month of November, as we know, is dedicated in a special way to praying for our faithful departed, especially the first days, November 1, November 2, and in the tradition of the church, the first 8 days of November are days to visit a cemetery and pray for the dead. There's even a special indulgence attached to that devotion. This year, as you know, the government shut down all the cemeteries, so nobody could go visit on the usual days. So the bishop said, well, we're going to extend that special window of grace for the whole month of November. So not just the first 8 days of November, but the whole month of November, you can visit a cemetery, pray for the dead, gain an indulgence. Which is a very beautiful thing, to be reminded how important it is for us to keep praying for the dead. It's a practice that is too often forgotten. Well, of course, people who are not Catholic don't even think of it, because people who don't believe in life after death, they're not going to pray for the dead. They might say, let's remember our dead, let's honor our dead, let's continue their legacy, but they don't pray for them. And then people who are Christians but who do not understand the great gift of purgatory, the gift of mercy that God extends to us after death, an opportunity to be purified, people who don't believe in that gift, they don't pray for the dead either, because they say either they're in heaven and they don't need our prayers, or they're in hell and our prayers won't help them. But we who are gifted with the Catholic faith know that after death, people undergo, if they need it, a purification, and that we can help them with that process. That's the beauty of this. In fact, the great thing about a Mass for the dead is it gives us a chance to participate in applying the sacrifice of Christ to the needs of our loved ones who have died. And there's no greater thing that we can do than to be part of Christ's work of blessing those who have died. The will of God, of course, is that everyone have life, have the fullness of life. But when people have, by their sins, distorted themselves in some way, or harmed themselves, or damaged themselves, it takes a process of purification. So this Mass is for everybody who died, as I said earlier in the beginning, for everyone especially who died in the past year. Now, many of you, if not all of you, submitted names to our All Souls Triduum. I was in the United States at the time, but the Masses on October 31st, November 1st, and November 2nd were all dedicated to praying for all those people who were included in the All Souls Triduum. And I had hundreds and hundreds of names. Most of them were here from the Philippines, but there were also many, many names from our friends in the States. So I had a whole pile of names on the altar, and those three Masses were for all of them. Now, I don't have that list of names here, but we'll pray for all of them in this Mass as well. And we can think of people that we know who died this year. Of course, the first one we think of is Sister Barbara. She's buried right there. But we also had members of our community, our associates. I can just think of Leonie, for example, or Linda Garcia, they died in the past year. Or think of good friends of ours like Dr. Perilla, who died of COVID. He died just one day after Sister Barbara in July. Or we think of our friend Hermie, who helped us with our mission statement. He died this year. Or think of your own sister. Just this year she died. Like, or I think of the father of Jenilyn, who died this year. Or many of you have fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers. Even the famous people who died, the mayor of Las Piñas, or former mayor of Las Piñas, died. I just heard a couple days ago that Bob Guerin died. You know, Bob Guerin, who worked so hard for people with drug addictions, he died last month. So, and then there's, imagine, countless people who have died of COVID-19 in the past year. So we're praying for all of them with confidence in the power of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, is more than enough to bring everyone into eternal glory. So it's a hopeful prayer. But we keep it up. It's a prayer that we make with perhaps mixed emotions, because we have sadness about people who have died, but we also have joy for their salvation. Yesterday, some women happened to be visiting the tombs of Father Francis and Sister Barbara, and they expressed this very thing. They had been their first chance to visit the tomb of Sister Barbara since she died, and they were saying how what a loss it is, how sad it is that she's no longer with us. But on the other hand, how wonderful it is that she's gone ahead, that she's gone on to heaven. How wonderful it is that God took her home. So there's this mix of emotions when we face the mystery of death. Now, as I said, this thematic Mass was not chosen for the readings, but it happens that today's readings are a good reflection on how to think about death and how to pray for the dead, because the parable in today's Gospel is a parable specifically about the necessity of praying always without becoming weary. Now, it doesn't say praying for the dead always, but that's included. We don't become weary of praying for the dead. Jesus, in this parable, uses the image of a widow and a corrupt judge. Now, this is about as extreme as he could come up with. The lowest, most helpless person, I'm sure if you went to Mass last Sunday, you heard the description of the widow as the poorest of the poor, because that widow was in last Sunday's Gospel. The widow was the lowest, on the lowest rung of the social structure. No support, no money, no help. And here's a widow petitioning a judge. Now, the judge is at the other extreme. He's got power, he's got money, he's got status, and he doesn't care about anything. He's so proud and selfish because he's a judge. And so he ignores the widow. Why does Jesus set this up? He sets up these extremes. Because who wins in the end? The widow. The helpless, poor woman wins over the powerful, corrupt judge. It's a surprise, but it's a hopeful surprise. Well, if this widow can win out over her enemy, can get a just decision from this guy who doesn't care about God or anyone, well then, what about we who are praying to God? If she can get it, if she can win, well then, we should be confident of winning too, in the sense of gaining what we pray for. Now, the reason why Jesus, one of the reasons why Jesus uses this contradictory image is because when we pray and we don't get what we pray for, we are tempted to give up. We get tired of praying. We think that God is not answering our prayers, or he's treating us the way the corrupt judge was treating the widow. That's wrong. He's not a corrupt judge. He's a just judge. He's a loving father. But our experience is that he's not doing what we ask, and so we get tired. That's why Jesus says, don't get tired. If that widow who had no hope at all didn't get tired of praying, well, we shouldn't get tired of praying either. Why is it sometimes so difficult for us? Because we don't know how God will bring about the good he has in mind for us. We don't understand it. Sometimes the good that he does looks bad to us, and the bad things that are happening look good to us. We don't see it. So that's why we have to keep praying and keep trusting in God. Now, today's first reading gives us a little insight into this confusing appearances, or why the appearances can confuse us. This beautiful reading from the Book of Wisdom is speaking about the Passover, the night when the angel came and killed the firstborn of the Egyptians, and the Israelites were set free from slavery. We know this story. It's one of the most fundamental events in salvation history, the Passover. The reading here describes the Word of God as a fierce warrior bounding down from heaven into the doomed land to fill every place with death. Well, that doesn't sound very good. Sounds horrible. The Word of God, which we think of as the Word of life, the Word of light, the life-giving Word, is dealing death everywhere. Death to the Egyptians, death to slavery, death to sin, death to the effects of sin on the people of God. So if you're an Egyptian, yeah, it's bad news. But if you're an Israelite, it's great news. It's the good news of freedom. That's why I say when we pray and we don't understand what God is doing, it's because part of us is Egyptian and part of us is Israelite. The part of us that's attached to our own will or attached to some sin or has a goal that's lower than God's goals for us will experience what God is doing as a kind of death. Just like the Egyptians found it to be so horrible that God was working. But in fact, God's work is great. It's a work of life and more life, fullness of life, eternal life. So even though we pass through death experiences, and we all do, and all our loved ones who have died have passed through the experience of death, that does not make God a corrupt judge. It only shows that we are blind to the fullness of life. So we can't give up praying. When we pray, we might not be able to see with our eyes, but we see with faith the goodness of God. We put our trust in God. You see what it said at the end of today's first reading. After the Egyptians are knocked down and defeated by the power of the word, along go the Israelites, leaping like lambs, praising God, their deliverer, ranging about like horses. They passed through the Red Sea and were free. That's an image not only of the Passover or any experience of freedom from sin, it's an image of what happens when people die in the mercy of God. They're set free. And this is an image of what we are praying will happen in its fullness for our loved ones who have died, that they will be set free and enter fully into eternal glory. So that's our intention. The readings help us understand why we have to persevere in praying for these our loved ones. Not because we're afraid of death or because we're gripped by sorrow, but because we have hope. We have confidence in the goodness of God. And we know that His will is for our and our loved ones' eternal glory.